All right, we're going to talk about who we rely on. Now, I know we talk about relying on God, but honestly, do we really? Most of the time, we do not. We rely on a whole lot of other things. Give me some examples of things we rely on. Come on.
Our spouse.
Our spouse. Very good. What else? Money. Our job. Friends. Accomplishments. The church. The people in the church. Leaders, pastors, parents, brothers or sisters. We have a smorgasbord, an array of people and things. That's right, the vehicle. Things we rely on. Now we go, oh, well, that's just normal to rely on those things. But I'm going to challenge you on that this morning. I think it's one of Satan's slyest moves. Because it's like the frog slowly boiling in water. You guys ever hear about that? That there's a frog and you put him, if you put have boiling water and a frog jumps in, he's going to jump right out. But if you have water that is slowly, 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 you turn up the heat, if you've got a frog in there, he'll adjust to the temperature as it goes and he'll stay in until he boils to death. So when it says like a frog boiling in water, it means that you slowly get accustomed and acclimated to small changes or a redirection, small redirections, till finally you're pointing in a totally different area, a different direction, or you are relying upon things or people, anything other than God, and we don't even realize it. When your car goes out, you realize how much you rely on your car. But truthfully, you just need to get from point A to point B. You don't need the car. You need to get, or you think so, from point A to point B. So really, what should we be relying on to get us from point A to point B? The car that can fail us? God. God can get somebody else to take us where we need to go. God can bring what we needed when we went there to us, can get us another vehicle. We get too focused on how we expect things to happen, how they will be provided, and therefore we start relying on things other than God in small ways, but then larger ways and larger ways. Just let lose your job. Lose your health. Lose your vehicle. Lose a person that you depended on. And you will realize that you are not relying on God for a lot of things. Agreed? So let's read what these scriptures say. 2 Kings. You say, but they are only empty words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now, on whom do you rely that you have rebelled against me? Let's just read these scriptures and see what God has to say. All right, another 2 Kings. Now behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed. You rely even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. When we rely on people in authority above us, we think, you know, I've got to do this for my boss, or I've got to do this for my boss in order for me to keep a job or get a raise or do whatever it is, because that person has control over my finances. That person has control over my future in this company. Does that person have that much power? No. Now, there were people at a job I had several years ago, and I was on fire for the Lord, and I had Jesus stuff on my little cubicle on my desk. One of them said, Jesus is life, the rest is details. Well, I had no clue about this, but some woman in the accounting department who is Jewish would go by my desk. I don't even know her, never met her. She just would walk behind my cubicle, didn't like what I had, reported me to HR and wanted to get me fired because of the stuff on my cubicle. Now, you would think you know, the higher ups, whatever it is they want to do. That somehow I needed control over this. I needed to be in this play. I needed to defend myself. I needed to do something, right? Yeah. Not only did they not do anything about it, she's the one who eventually got fired. All of this happened before I knew a thing about it. So even the people over me at work, I don't need to rely on them for my favor or my advancement or whatever it is. God is the person who can direct Pharaoh's heart to say yes, no, give favor, take away favor. And sometimes taking away favor is okay too. Sometimes you need to be removed from a job and be put somewhere else. Mm-hmm. All right, next one, 2 Kings. How then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Remember we're talking about getting one place or another? All right? So in other words, there is Psalms, some trust in chariots, some trust in horsemen too, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. All right, so we can trust on people to get us somewhere or to protect us, but really we have switched our reliance from God to them. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Amen. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. Now, this is probably the scripture that was the basis of a sermon that Lance Johnson preached a long time ago that was really revolutionary to me, revelational. And it affected, have I told you guys the story of my windshield wipers during the storm? There was a sermon that he shared, and it's kind of like this, which is, we belong to God, we rely on God, and therefore we are his responsibility. And everything that is ours is his responsibility, okay? So something goes wrong in our life, something breaks, whatever it is, it's God's responsibility to fix it or replace it, because we belong to him, and everything that we have belongs to him. Okay? Well, I was a single mother with two small children in a little Volkswagen Fox, and I'm driving in a downpour right after this sermon, probably Monday or Tuesday, and I can't see. It's pretty bad, but at least the wipers are working. And then the driver's side windshield wiper stopped working, and I couldn't pull off on the road. Couldn't pull off. I was in traffic. Children in the back seat, small children, and I'm just a little panicked. And they were in there to hear the sermon, and I was going to put God to the test. And I said, God, this is your car. This is your windshield wiper. My children are here to hear me call on you. This is yours. I'm asking you right now to fix this windshield wiper. I mean, I put it out there. I was going to totally, totally fail in front of my children. My children were going to say, you know, I was thinking, oh, God's not big enough. And that driver's side windshield wiper did not move. Instead, the passenger side one started coming over a little more and a little more and a little more until it was wiping the entire windshield wiper. I get off the highway. I go over to the mechanic that I deal with, and I go up to him and I said, left side windshield wiper stopped working, so God made the passenger side go all the way over. He is watching it. He is looking at it. And he says, that's a mechanical impossibility. They cannot stretch that far. But he's watching it. Now, if I relied on the mechanic, not going to happen. If I relied on myself, not going to happen. But if I put my trust in him, he can do something. But notice, he didn't do exactly what I asked in the way that I asked for it. He did something more miraculous, something that would bring glory and honor and praise to him in a way that just making the other one work would have done. So we've got to rely on him. What they trust in is fragile. What they rely on is a spider's web. Spider's web. Now, explain, what is a spider's web? It may be fragile, right? You can just ask. They build them in my front door every night, and you have to knock them down, or you get a face full of it. But you know what else makes me think about a spider's web?
Spider's web is not fragile. Have you ever really tried to knock one down? I mean, I have tried to pressure wash those things. They don't come down.
Well, that's good. But what else? What else is the other thing about a spider web?
It's a trap.
It's a trap, and it's sticky. Okay. What happens is, not only is it a spider's web in that it's fragile, that it's going to give way, but it will ensnare us. It will entrap us. When we rely on something else, we get lulled into a false sense of security for something that cannot save, for something that cannot be trusted, right? We rely on a relationship to give us a need, to make us feel validated, feel okay. That's a very precarious situation. Somebody could just be in pain and all of a sudden not be able to give you any kind of feedback, positive feedback. The economy comes, or somebody at your job all of a sudden has a problem in their relationship. The owner has a problem with someone in their relationship, and because they don't pay attention to the company, the whole company folds. Everyone loses their job. Mm-hmm. Precarious. We get stuck in it. The only thing we can rely on is God. That's it. Scroll down. Keep going. All right, stop.
Skipping a bunch.
All right. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. What are we really supposed to rely on? Yeah, we're relying on him personally, but really what we're relying on is his unfailing love for us. You said, because of where you went with your kids because you're going to make sure they get home. So what do Melissa's children rely upon? Her unfailing love for them. Right? They entrust themselves completely to her because of her unfailing love. We have to entrust ourselves completely to God. Not just because, but because of his unfailing love for us. That's what makes him trustworthy. If any of us have ever loved someone, specifically a child, would we not do anything for that child out of love? Now, sometimes there's got to be tough love because we love the child. But nonetheless, everything we do in a healthy relationship, healthy mother-child, father-child relationship, it is because we're doing it out of love.
Have you said that? Can I share something?
Yeah.
So that's where I was driving a little Dodge Neon four-door car, really small. Everybody knows how small we are. I had my son in the front seat, my niece, my nephew, and my daughter. And I bet Shane and Paige were probably, I think Shane might have been 12, 13, which puts Paige about 8 years old, my niece and nephew about the same ages. As we're going down 575, tractor trailer's right beside us, here we are, and Paige says, Mom, what's that lane over there for? And I said, well, that's the HOV lane. I said, you can get in that lane when you have more than one passenger. But I don't think about it because I'm always by myself, so I don't ever get in that lane. I said, oh, look, we can get in that lane today. I'm telling you, that was God. We moved into this HOV lane, and this tractor trailer blew a tire that was right beside us. So luckily, we had just, literally had just gotten over in this lane. He blew a tire. And as he's coming, he came across two lanes of traffic, clipped my front end. I'm standing, literally standing on my brakes, like up in my car, standing on my brakes. His truck jackknifed, so his trailer's here, his truck is here, and my car is dead in the center, right in the middle, just crushed. We couldn't get out, and Shane was literally up on top of me. I mean, if he hadn't have been, he would have lost his legs. Doctor came, and we only found all this out afterwards, and he jumped up on the back of that trailer, and he told all the kids to scoot over, so they, and he shattered the window, pulled all the kids out of the back. Shane, bless his heart, when I tell you that kid is a mother's, he's a mama's boy through and through. He cried, "Mama, I'm not getting out of this car." And I said, "Son, please just get out of the car. I can't work. Mama, I'm not getting out of this car. I'm not leaving you, Mama." I mean, he just would not get out of the car. I had to beg and plead. He finally gets out of the car, goes around, and gets that poor truck driver gets out, just blood all over him. Shane's over there. "Have you got a crowbar or something?" So my son is over there with a crowbar trying to get me out because, of course, the steering wheel, I'm crushed in. There's no way I could get out. Every one of us walked out of that accident without a scratch on us. We all went to the hospital to be checked. Nothing wrong. I had a few broken ribs, but that's it. But that was God. That was God using Paige, my daughter, because had she not have said it, we would have never gotten over that lane. And I'm sure we would have all been sitting in pearly gates today. But yeah, I just wanted to share that with you because it's...
Thank you. That's perfect. Now, when I first moved to Canton, lived in a house over on Scott Road, and rented it from a guy who was doing drugs, I figured out later on, and had a gas furnace in it. And one night, I think my son was staying with my parents. My daughter woke up in the middle of the night. She normally doesn't do that. Asked for a drink of water. Normally didn't do that. I got up, got water, brought it to her, and thought, "What is the light I'm seeing coming from the I was seeing light coming from there." The house was on fire. Underneath. The gas, the guy, the landlord or whatever, had done something and lit the gas on fire through the bottom of the house. We could have died. Would not have woken up. Would have just died from smoke inhalation. So God does certain things and allows certain things to happen to show his glory. And a lot of time, we don't even know that we've been saved from something. He just saves us from something and we don't even know.
9/11, case in point.
Oh.
That one phone call that you stopped to take, you missed the bus. That's
Yep.
Saying, "Hey,
yep.
You don't need to be in that
never, yeah. Never know. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I rely." Scroll down just one, or just go down a little bit. I want to see this, 86:11. "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name." Think about this. "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness." We have to be taught the faithfulness of God. We have to be taught that through the Word of God being read to us and preached to us. But also, we're taught his way by listening and obeying. When we listen and do not obey, he will not give us more because we will not obey. But when he speaks and we obey, we learn to trust what he says to us and how he conveys stuff to us. The other day at work, we had a customer who was not giving us a PO, so we could not bill them. And so nobody would give the PO, no one would give the PO, no one would give the PO. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go the back door and I'm going to call the name of the person who's on this PO that I've had for other POs. So I called and left a message and said, you know, "I'm just looking for a PO for this." But as I went to call, I got this mm-mm in my spirit. "Don't do that." And I thought, yep, that maybe that's not God. But I knew what it was. And I thought, well, I'm just going to do this. I mean, what can this... And I got this mm-mm. "You don't know that your bosses want you to do this or not." I still called. I left a message. And then I went to the guy who is the coordinator. And I said, I called. And I said, "I hope you don't mind to try and get a PO." He went, no, not at all. And I thought, well, that wasn't God. He went and checked with the owner. And the owner said, "No, don't do that." How would I have known that? You know? So I didn't listen. And it's just another way that he teaches me his way. And if I will listen, if I will learn and obey, then I will learn his ways. I will learn to trust in his faithfulness. When the wicked die, their hopes die with them, for they rely on their own feeble strength. I got this. I'll figure this out. Scroll down into the New Testament. Scroll. Keep going. We got lots of Isaiah. All right, hold on a second. Go up.
Are we in Isaiah right now?
No. We weren't. No, it's okay. Stop. Go down. All right. Okay. I think at the bottom it'll let you go for more. But anyways, you guys get the idea here, right? What I want to ask you is, what are you relying on? Most likely a lot of different things, right? The biggest one is normally finances. We rely on a job. We think that getting money relies on us doing a job or our boss doing something. When you can get a check in the mail, you can have a man follow you up to the counter and pay for your stuff. You just never know what God is going to do. So we've had some good stories about relying and what God can do. Anybody else want to share before we close on something about relying on God or relying on something other than God? Anybody? No?
I've got too much going on in my head this week.
That's all right. All right, well then I'm going to go ahead and close. If nobody has anything else they want to share.
So can I just ask?
I
went to the eye doctor Thursday, hence I'm not wearing my glasses, but they're trying to do something new. So now I'm farsighted in one, and I can only read it out of this one because my eyes don't see together. They see left or right. So I'm asking. So that's why I was looking at the screen this morning. I couldn't see that piece of paper because this eye's not been trained to do that yet.
So
just keep me in your prayers because that I can adjust because it's... Oh. Yeah, it's like... I mean, I'm walking like a drunk person, literally.
That's weird.
It is. It's sort of freaking me out.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, who's going to say? Yes.
I was just thinking of about a year ago, I knew I needed to get a new... more money, more income, things were wrong. And so I looked for another job, make a long story short. I love where I work now. I have a Christian boss who gives me what he calls morning snacks and my emails and all. But anyway, I did get a job at WellStar. But even when I went in there, you know, usually when it's God, you walk in the door, you know this is it. And even though I got the job and the people were nice, I just didn't feel like this was it. And so I go back to the office and, you know, I tell him, you know, I put in my resignation because, you know, it offered benefits, all these things. And at first he just sort of freaks out about leaving because we're a small office. But to make a long story short, he walked back in. I worked every Saturday. I hated it. I had grandchildren. You just don't have a life. Mm-hmm. You're off when everybody else is working. Mm-hmm. And when they're off, you're not. And it's hard. I love to run a very active grandma. And,
Amen.
Yeah. So, you know, I like to be the games and stuff. So anyway, to make a long story short, he came back to me and offered me a 50% raise. So I talked to Shock and my daughter about it. And she says, what about Saturday? Because that was an issue. So I thought he's going to give me Saturday. So you would think that would have settled it. But when I went home and I was still praying about it, I did not have a peace about it. I still did not have a peace about it. And I remember he said, you know, I've got to have an answer by Friday. I've got to replace you. You're all I got. And we are very close as well. And I'm walking across my front porch basically fussing at God, why won't you give me the confirmation? I've got to tell this man something. Mm-hmm. I got to know something. He's got to know something. You know, he's yours too. So I get to work. And the problem is we're seasonal on landscapers. So we're seasonal in the winter. Hours can go down, so your salary is not normally consistent. And so when he came back in, at that time it was part-time 25 hours. So when he comes in the next, I get to work, I'm like, okay, what am I going to tell this man? Because I won't tell him anything if I don't have peace. You know? Mm-hmm. And I get in the office, and he comes over to me and says, I have to talk to you now. And he pulls his chair up. And he says, I'm not doing this because of me, but God is saying, don't take that other job.
He said, there's something that's not right about it for you. And he said, I will guarantee your 25 hours through the winter this year. And he's already given me the $18 an hour, the raise that he's given me. He said, but not only that, at spring, I'll bump you to 35 hours, guaranteed. Which usually it's up and down like this. If I had an answer before then, he wouldn't have given me the other.
That's right.
And we had an awesome experience there together, and we felt things. The business was struggling. That day, both of us felt in our spirit that something shifted in the spirit realm. Because he had done what he needed to do a long time ago.
Yes.
And you know, so the lesson that I learned there is I'm very impatient. I'm a planner, and that's a little control issue I guess we all have to deal with. But I think us women, because we have to plan for the family and all, it's a real weakness for us, you know? Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it?
Exactly. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to make it work? Who's going to make it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I'm that way. But the Lord really showed me when I start to get like, I've got to have an answer. He's like, did you not remember what I taught you? If I had answered you then, you would not have what you have now. But the last cool thing about it, several months before all this was going on, I was paying tithes at church. Things were really rough at a church I was at there. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to tithe on what you want to make.
Yes.
What you make right now.
Yes.
And I'm like, have you looked at the checkbook? You know? But anyway, and he didn't ask me to do it after that. But that Sunday, I paid tithes on what I want to make. I make that now. So it was a good lesson for Vicki, who has her answers right now.
Yes.
You know, and I got to have a plan. I got to have an act. That he, you know, just shut up and listen. If it's not coming to you, there's a reason it's not coming to you.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've ever heard it, but I grew up hearing, you know, if you pray to the Lord and you don't hear a no, then just go ahead. Biggest mistake you will ever make. If you don't hear, don't do nothing. That's what this hard head
has. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a huge lesson for me. We don't get his best when I'm trying to manage him. You know?
That's exactly so, when we direct his ways instead of letting him direct our ways.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
That's excellent.
Excellent.